The next attribute listed here among the Kinyanei Torah is Tahara. Now I should note that depending on which of the Girsaos you have, which Mefarshim you're looking at, some do not list Tahara as one of the 48, and others who do list it have it later on and have the list in a different order. But using those Nuschaos and those Mefarshim that have Tahara now, we will study as our ninth in the Kinyanei Torah, in the 48 attributes, that of Tahara. Now, of course, we're familiar with the word Tahara from many contexts in Tanakh or in Mishnah. And the truth is that most of the commentaries here, most Mefarshim, view Tahara in a similar lens that I think we are used to seeing that word, and that is as the opposite of Tumah. But here, in the context of learning, we don't mean in the literal sense Tameh and Tahor, Tumah and Tahara, in the sense of, you know, touching a dead body or something like that, but rather in the broader sense of the kochos hatumah, and therefore the need for the opposite of tahara, purity versus impurity, purity avoiding things which can contaminate the mind and body generally, and specifically, as you find in much of the literature, including that in commenting here on our Braisa, the type of tumah or avoidance of deleterious things, specifically with focus on arayos, or sexual improprieties, or thoughts and distractions. Within this broad approach of seeing tahara as the opposite of that type of impurity, there are two specific approaches, not necessarily contradictory, but different. The first, echoed, perhaps exemplified, I should say, by the Medrash Shmuel, when he says here, commenting in Pirkei Avos, Ki Torah tahora ukidosha ve'ena chala b'makom tumah. The Torah is pure and holy, and therefore it will not take, it will not adhere in a place which is tamei, which is impure. That is to say, if one wants to become a Talmid Chacham, one wants to grow in learning, you must first remove the tumah, must remove the impurities, both of deed and even impure thoughts, so that the holy and pure Torah can reside. Given the nature, the holy and pure nature of Torah, it cannot coexist with pritzus, with immorality, an impure deed, an impure thought. This connection between the pure nature of Torah and the need for those learning Torah to be tahor is perhaps somewhat, or perhaps even best, exemplified in the comment of the Medrash Tanhuma on Parshat Tzav, which states something which is not so well known and certainly not popular anymore, but it is worth noting. It's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredei, and Chos Talmud Torah by some poskim, but it's certainly worth noting in our context, which is the assumption that the Medrash makes, and this apparently was the custom in many places, and fewer now, but I do believe it still exists, that children, when they're ready to start learning Torah, the first Torah that they should learn, the first book of Chumash they should learn, is Sefer Vayikra. As the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Asya, Lama Hei Matchilim Hatinoko Shel Beis Rabban Lilmod B'Sefer Vayikra. Again, expressing a certain reality that the Medrash is familiar with, that initially children learn Vayikra, and the Medrash continues, since Karbonos are referred to as are the main part of Sefer Vayikra, and children who are, and of course, to bring a karbon, a person has to be tahor. And children, b'pnei shehem, says the Medrash, are tahorim. Children are tahor. Ad achshav einam yodim mahu ta'am chet vavon. They've never even tasted sin. They're innocent, pure children. Lefichach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, shu matchilin tchila b'seder karbonos. And therefore, it's appropriate that children who have never even tasted the sin, the taste of sin, should start with learning karbonos. And the Medrash concludes with a very pithy way of summarizing this idea, Yavohu Tahorim, Yisasku B'Maase Tahorim. Let the Tahorim, the children who are Tahor and pure, come and busy themselves, study and learn the Halachos, the Parshios, that deal with Tahara, that of the Karbanos. So you see a very almost dramatic association between the need to be Tahor, which is obviously easier when you're a child, you Lotam Tam Chet, and learning Torah, especially things which are particularly focused on Tahara like Karbanos. This is also articulated in a very important Gemara in Masechta Yuma, Daf Lamed Tes, where the Gemara says, which type of Torah will be omedes la'ad, which Torah study will actually be sustained, and this has clearly been a consistent leitmotif in the Kinyanei Torah that we've been studying here in Pirkei Avos, what will make the Torah be miskayemes, or here the Gemara refers to it as omedes la'ad, commenting on the Pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Yotes, Yiras Hashem Tehora, omedes la'ad, Amar B'chanina, Zehalomei Torah v'tahara. How will a person be able to achieve having their Torah be omedes la'ad, sustained, if they learn v'tahara, impurity, avoiding the distractions and the contaminants of the tumah, of the shmutz, of the outside world. Now it's important to note that the Gemara here continues and asks, Maihi, well, how does one do that? How do you avoid this? How do you become someone who is lomei b'tahara? And the Gemara answers, No se'isha v'achar kach lomei Torah. First get married, and then study Torah. This idea which the Gemara is suggesting, that marriage and finding a healthy and permitted and potentially kadosh outlet for one's sexual desires, which is clearly the specific intent of the Gemara, is actually highlighted in a number of other commentaries and sources, which are mentioned here in this context. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos famously tells us that Ben Shmanasre, after one turns 18, they should get married to avoid such impure thoughts. And even though that is obviously not our minhag, we don't get married at 18, but nevertheless, this idea is certainly one which, if one would follow it, potentially could help. And obviously Chazal, echoing here in this Mishnah, are sensitive to the idea that during one's later teenage years, these temptations can be most difficult and very much in conflict with learning. The Lechem Shemayim, Rav Yaakov Emdin, actually makes this point here on Perkei Avos, and he specifically says that first one should marry and then be able to focus on Torah b'taharas hamachshava, with a greater purity of thought. And he quotes as a proof a amazing Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin, Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, where Rav Chisda tells us, Hai de adifna mechavrai, why am I greater? Why have I learned more? Why have I grown more in my learning than my friends and the other people in the Beis Medrash? The nesivna b'shitzar, because I got married at 16. So even if the other chachamim were getting married at 18, perhaps, but he got married at 16. And the clear implication is that by getting married earlier, he was able to find a healthy outlet for his yetzer hara in an earlier age, and therefore able to advance in learning. In fact, he then adds that had he got married at 14, he would even have been a greater tzaddik, and he would have had no yitzhar virtually whatsoever. As it is, because he got married at 16, he has a far less yitzhar. So again, the age of marriage, and what is the appropriate age, and obviously in our day and age, it's almost unheard of to get married that young, even in Hasidic communities, where they still get married younger than most others. But nevertheless, whatever one age one gets married, certainly Chazal's wisdom, even if the specific application of age is not applicable anymore. But nevertheless, their insight, I think, is certainly enduring. And the generation in which we find ourselves, I don't believe, is in any way cured of these distractions and temptations. If anything, in many cases, we have even greater challenges via the technology, etc. And therefore, the wisdom of Chazal is certainly something that we should keep in mind. It is worth perhaps thinking about the insight of the Sefer HaChinuch, commenting in Mitzvah Shin Pei Zayin on the Pasuk of Lo Susuru, which is the commandment Lo Susuru, we shouldn't follow our eyes and our heart, Achrei Nechem, Lo Surach Levavchem. And the Sefer HaChinuch, when he's explaining the rationale for this prohibition, not to be looking at things that are considered inappropriate and will contaminate our minds, so he adds a very important and I think completely relevant psychological insight, as he refers to it, as that this mitzvah is be'emes yisod gadol b'das. This is a major foundation of religious foundation, a religious principle of spirituality. And as he puts it, the machshavos haraos, having bad thoughts, is really the source of the problem, avos hatumos. What we actually then do, the inappropriate and prohibited actions, hamasim, are just yaldehen. They are the children, so to speak. They are the byproducts. But the real issue is controlling one's thoughts. And what we see usually is what distracts us and what gets us to think. And as the Chinuch quotes, the Mishnah and Avos, Perek Dalid, Avera Goreres Avera, that once we see something we shouldn't see, we end up thinking something we shouldn't think, and then doing something that we shouldn't do. And the reason that we have to be so zealous to guard against this, he points out, and again, this is psychologically, I believe, so insightful and so true, Shimtoshis datcha lemlos tavoscha hara pamachas, because once we get started down that road, so to speak, even one time, timshach achareha kamba pamim, it is very, very hard to stop. It's almost never controlled at one inappropriate action, one inappropriate looking at something, one inappropriate thought. And conversely, the power of overcoming this Yetzirah can be equally powerful. Im tizke lios gibor, baretz lichpoch yitzchol, atzo meinecha, meiraos, bera, pamachas, if we can overcome the Yetzirah and not look at things which we're not allowed to look at, and thereby avoid thinking about things that we're not allowed to think about, even once, then yakel beinecha lasos kein kamba pamim. Note, he doesn't say there'll never be any more temptation, there'll never be another Yetzirah, but each time we can overcome that Yetzirah, the easier it gets the next time to overcome it as well. Ki tahava timshocha basar kimshocha yayin el shosav. Because there's something, I could say, addictive about the Yetzer Hara. And each time you feed it, so to speak, it makes you wanting more, just like when you drink wine. Someone who enjoys wine will want more and more each time he drinks. Ki asovim lo tizba nafsham, those who really enjoy it, those who become addicted to it, they never get enough. Li olam, never. Aval yisavo elav tava gadol, they just have a greater and greater desire for it. The more they get used to it, the greater the desire they have. So this is an insight which I think is quite apt and relevant as much, if not more so nowadays, than it ever was, and something that Chazal clearly are mindful of. I'll just add one more point in this vein. In the Sefer Keser Rosh, which is a collection of a likut of the Hanhagos of Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, it says that he had a tefillah. I don't know if he said it every day or he just recommended it to other people, but it sounds like perhaps even Rav Chaim Volozhiner said this every day, that every day before he went out, he said a tefillah so that he would avoid sinning that day. It is worth noting that it mentions other sins in here in Keser Rosh, which are not necessarily what we would consider or we've been discussing in the realm of Tahara or Tuma, including not getting angry or not speaking Lashon Hara, but he does mention there in the Keser Rosh that this is also to prevent looking at inappropriate things, looking at things we shouldn't see. And just to read the basic text of this very brief tefillah, Ribono Shel Olam, he says, Hinni holeich begeitz al maves lamakom mesukan. I'm going, so to speak, in the valley of the shadow of death to a dangerous, dangerous place. Hoshieni mi'etzer hara umichataim umeavonos. Please save me from my yetzer hara and from sinning. So, very, very, again, short but powerful, powerful tefillah. And if Rav Chaim Volozhiner felt the need to say this at all, let alone regularly, or advise this, again, it may seem a little bit extreme to us. I don't say a tefillah like this daily myself, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But it even if it does seem extreme, again, I think it behooves all of us to think about this and to think about what Chazal intend, especially in the over-saturated culture in which we live in, where pritzos, sexuality, in the most base form, seems to be around us almost constantly. Very, very hard to learn in that environment. We need tahara. Chazal are telling us we need to remove this shmutz, so to speak, these impure thoughts and visions, so that we can focus on Torah, not only in the sense of not being distracted, but also in the sense of if we have an impure body, an impure kli, we will not be able to hold and maintain the pure Torah. That's number one. Secondly, again, using tahara as an opposite of tumah, in the same sense we've seen it, not that as a prerequisite to learning we must become tahor, but some point out that there is also, and again this is not a contradiction in any sense, but it's also worth noting that the power of Torah to be mitaher, not tahara as a prerequisite, but tahara as a result, the power of Torah to transform. The Medrash and the Sifrei in Ekev talks about the comparison, which we know from many psukim, nimshu divrei Torah lamayim, but why is the Torah compared to water? The Sifrei gives a different answer than we saw previously. Here says the Medrash, Ma ma'im ma'alim es ha-tmeim yitumasam, kach divrei Torah ma'alim es ha-tmeim yitumasam. Just like the waters of a mikvah can purify someone who's impure and make someone who is tamei into that being tahor, so too divrei Torah can elevate a person out of their tumah and become tahor. So even if a person is tamei, but the exposure to Torah can have the effects of, like the waters of a mikvah, and purify that person. The Chafetz Chaim, in his introduction to the Lakutei Halachos, speaks very powerfully, beautifully about this. And he describes the Koach Masikus HaTorah, the power of the sweetness of Torah, even sweeter than honey. Someone who's mistabek, someone who cleaves to Torah, even if his soul is initially very, very bad, but the Koach of Torah can purify him and can transform him, mamash, into a new person. That is how powerful Torah is. He further makes the point, commenting on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Tes, Devarai Ke'esh Num Hashem, that the words of Hashem, the Torah, is compared to fire, and in what sense is it comparable to fire? So here the Chafetz Chaim says that just like fire has the ability to be metaher something in the sense of libun, you can take something that is tameh, a kli, a utensil, and put it in the fire, and you could kasher it, you could get rid of its tumah. So too, he says, kachu mamash koach haTorah hakadosha. This is the power of Torah. La'asir minafsho kol kochos haTumah hamuvlas bo. Can purify and remove all the kochos of tumah that are absorbed in the person, the same way that the fire of libun can absorb or can remove all the absorbed tumah that is in a kli, in a utensil. The Rambam in Isuri Bia Perchav Beis B'Halacha Chaf Aleph points out that that usually these types of inappropriate thoughts and temptations usually only come about when a person has nothing, no positive outlet, and no positive material, so to speak, like Torah, to fill the void. He notes the importance of getting married, and this is a minhag, which is goreim letara yaseira. A person should not be unmarried, a person should find the right person at the right time. But then the Rambam adds, gedola mikolzos. What's the most important thing? Yifna atzmo umachshavto ledivrei Torah. A person must focus their time, their energy, and their thoughts on Torah. V'yarchiv daito v'chochma. And should be focusing on expanding their knowledge in Torah. She'ein machsheves arayos miskaberes ella v'leif panoi minachachma. That usually, I think this is again so psychologically and emotionally insightful and accurate by the Rambam, as much as things change, things stay the same, people are people, and these types of thoughts, and let alone the actions that people may take acting on their temptations, they almost always occur when a person is otherwise unoccupied, not the focusing. When a person is focusing on learning and filling their mind with good things and productive behavior, less likely, not impossible, but less likely for their mind to be led astray. But when it is otherwise unoccupied, sitting vatel, and not filling their mind with good, compelling, and insightful, and interesting Torah thoughts, but just doing nothing or nothing productive, much, much more likely for a mind to wander or for an initial temptation to take hold. And again, I think this second point of the power of Torah to transform a person, to fill one's mind and to be equal to the task of pushing out thoughts of temptation and inappropriateness and filling it with goodness and purity is something which any one of us who've been zocheh to be miyoshvei beit hamedrash, we've all benefited from, and certainly in our own lives, and I imagine we've all seen it over the years, and Shemir Hashem should always continue in every yeshiva, in every Beis Medrash, people who often somehow get hooked on or get started in learning, even when they seem to be very far away and have lots of tumah, so to speak, inside of them, but the tahara that can come about by exposing them to the holiness of Torah, sometimes people are amazed by it, but proof is in the pudding, so to speak. We see it time and time again, and should give us a great appreciation for the transformative powers of Torah. Until now, we've been discussing tahara as the opposite of tumah. But there is another completely different way of understanding the word tahara, which is also worth noting, and perhaps may also be an aspect of what Chazal have in mind here as well. A number of years ago, Rav David Miller gave a brief shiur in YU, in which he made this point, that there really are two aspects or two stages. The first is what we've been speaking about, the Sur Meira. He called our attention to a Rashi in Vayikra, Parshas Achrimos, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yates, where the Torah describes the Kohen Gadol cleansing and preparing the Mizbeach for his Avoda, and he sprinkles the blood, V'hiza Alav Min Hadam, Be'etzpo, Sheva Pamim, seven times. What's the purpose of that, says the Torah? V'tiharo, V'kadsho. What do those two words mean, V'tiharo, V'kadsho? So Rashi says, V'tiharo, V'masha Avar. It's the things that already happened. V'kadsho, L'asid Lavo. So the first aspect of Tahara, as we've seen, is removing the impurities, avoiding them, Sur Meira, the best. Of course, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we can avoid them, even better. But if not, to purify ourselves, to remove them, the tiharo. And that's what we've been discussing until now. Avoiding, and if there is failure, which is inevitable, then tshuva, purifying oneself. There's a second level, which here Rashi alludes to, in a certain sense, with the word vakacho. But there's a second level, which can also be contained in the word tahara, which is actually quite positive. Masilas Yesharim notes that one of his rungs in climbing the ladder of Avodas Hashem, one of the rungs is Tahara. But if you take a look there, the Masilas Yesharim is not talking about a purity from avoiding certain things, but rather towards a positive Tahara, a Taharas Halev. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, Leif Tahor Bara Eli Elokim. We want a pure heart. Or as we daven every Shabbos, the Taher Li Veinu, what do these psukim, what do these ideas mean? This is the idea which we often refer to as Rachmana Libaboy. We want there to be a certain sincerity, a certain clear, single-minded focus where everything we do, including our learning, but certainly the non-learning things that we do, that everything we do should be tahor and should be l'avdecha be'emes. It should all be for Avodas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Avodas Hashem. Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, also has a similar idea, and he describes this as the need for purity of purpose and motivation. And Rabbi Dr. Tversky actually cites as a proof to this the Rambam in Shmona Prakim, where he starts off in Parakei, describing how all of our actions should be done for the higher purpose of spiritual growth. Tzorach Adam Sheshabed Kochos Nafsho Kulam Lefi Adas. That everything should be towards this higher purpose. The yosem leneged einav tamid tachlis achas. A person should always be focused on one overarching goal. The he hasagas Hashem yizbarach, apprehending, getting to know Hashem better, spiritual growth, kirvas elokim, kivicholas adam ladasosa. Each person according to their ability. The yosim pulasav kulan, and therefore everything a person does, tinuosav umenuchosav v'chol devarav. Then everything the person does will be in service of this higher ultimate goal. Therefore, nothing will be wasted, nothing will be stam, casual, everything will be towards this higher goal. And he gives examples, every physical activity, achilaso, shtiaso, umishgalo, shnaso, vikitaso, tnuaso, menuchaso, everything we're doing, eating, sleeping, sexual relations, everything that we do should be bebrius gufo levad, not just to enjoy this world, but for the higher purpose of physical, and I'll add, mental or emotional health. And why should we have that higher goal for these physical pleasures? Because if we're healthy, if we have brias gufa, timsa hanefesh, kelim briim, ushlemim, litnos hachmos, uknos, malos hamidos, malos hasechlos, achegi, latachasahi. The purpose of a healthy mind and body is so that we can then achieve the spiritual things. We will not be able to achieve the kochos hanefesh, the spiritual things that we want, if we don't have a healthy mind and body. And therefore, the tahara that's necessary and that can be accomplished is if we have this higher focus, where everything we're trying to do, even the physical aspects of our life, are all aimed towards this higher purpose of Avodas Hashem. And this is a completely different type of tahara, a sense of purity of purpose and dedication, the anchor of which can be the parts of our day which we can learn, that itself, making that the anchor, especially for people who are in school or working, but making that period of time, however long it is, the anchor of your day, that's already a form of dedication. But beyond that, looking at every aspect of our life, not as disjunct, but rather as distinct. There are different parts of our life, but we can unify those in purpose and have a purity of purpose and as a form of tahara, if everything we're doing is all towards our higher purpose of avodas Hashem, we go to work, we make a parnasa, we have a family life, we, to the extent that we have to relax and enjoy, all of that is for the higher purpose of making us the type of person, both physically, emotionally, intellectually, healthy and motivated and dedicated to be able to serve Hashem. So in conclusion, just to sum up briefly, we saw three different things. The first, the tahara is the opposite of tumah. We must avoid the negative things that we would see or think about, which would contaminate our mind, contaminate our bodies, which make it impossible to make a kinyan Torah, because the Torah itself is pure, it needs a pure receptacle. Number two, we said that tahara, again, is the opposite of tumah, can be the result of learning. That is to say that the more we learn, we can be transformed and elevated into people who are not tempted anymore or who are strong enough to avoid the temptations. The Torah itself can be metaheras, like the waters of a mikvah. And last but not least, we saw tahara in a completely different sense, not as the opposite of tumah, but rather in the sense of a positive thing, purity, a purpose, single-minded dedication and focus towards Avodas Hashem.